Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, we're getting into a portion of Matthew today where there are a lot of parables in a row. It's just like parable after parable after parable, okay? And so we wanted to just press pause for just a moment so we can explain, like, what's going on here? Why does Jesus use all of these parables? What am I supposed to do with parables? What the heck is a parable? Right? Okay? So we wanted to just take a moment and explain, like, what's a parable? Why did Jesus do it? Why did he use them? What should we do with it? Here's the definition, Merriam-Webster's definition of a parable. You ready? A usually short, fictitious story. Hang on, hold on. You just said, Paula, that every word in this Bible is true. It is true. Jesus actually told these stories. Okay? Do you hear me? Jesus actually did tell these stories. A parable is a usually short, fictitious story that illustrates a moral attitude or a religious story. Okay, so if you don't know me very well, you're about to get to know me a little bit more, okay? I love Disney. And we spent a good portion of our marriage taking our kids to Disneyland. We love it. Like, listen, some people, like, buy, like, furniture, I can't say. But for us, we choose to like spend our money on making memories. And so we would take our kids to Disney every year, okay? And there was this one thing that I love to do. Listen, I'm a mom of three girls, and poor Ryan, our son, he just had to like come along. And actually, I think he kind of liked it, okay? And so we would go every year to this little library like store at Disneyland where they had princess storytelling. And here is what whatever princess was telling the story would say. She would start it with, let's start at the beginning where every worthwhile story starts. And that would prompt all of the kids and the adults in the room to say, once upon a time, right? Every good story starts with once upon a time, doesn't it? Right? So I want you to picture Jesus as he's like telling these stories, or he's like, get ready, once upon a time. Listen, doesn't that like pique your interest when someone's like, I have something really great to tell you. Once upon a time, and you're like, ooh, this is gonna be good. Right? That's what Jesus was doing here, right? That is the title of our new sermon series, Once Upon a Time. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13. Not because the Bible is a fairy tale. Let me just say that one more time. Not because the Bible is a fairy tale. We just declared that every word in this book is true, right? But it's also filled with portions of scripture where Jesus used fictional stories to teach a lesson. Now, the preface of a book introduces the story that you're about to read, and it also gives any important background information on what you're about to read, right? Well, today's message is called The Preface, because I'm about ready to give you some background information that's going to be important as we head into this series on parables. This is the preface to our series. And today, I'm going to be jumping around a little bit, okay? We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, and then going down to verses 34 to 35. Let's read that together. his disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not." What? To those who listen to my teaching, but you need to pay attention right now. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. That is why I use parables. For they look, but they don't really see. They hear, but they don't really listen or understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, "When you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of those people are hardened." Guys, I don't ever want to respond with a hardened heart. When I see what God is doing, I don't ever want to be like, "That's not God. Why are those people laughing? Why are they crying? Why are they down on their knees?" When I see what God's doing, I want to be like, "More of it. More, God. Give them more. Bless them, God. Fill them with your spirit. Come on. Come on." For the hearts of those people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear, and they have closed their eyes so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot come to me, cannot turn to me, and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. I tell you the truth. Many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see. But they didn't see it. And they long to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. Then we go down to verse 34. Jesus always used stories and illustrations like this, like these, when speaking to the crowds. In fact, he never spoke to them without using such parables. This fulfilled what God had spoken through the prophet. "I will speak to you in parables, and I will explain the hidden things since the creation of the world." There was a lot in there, and it is good. Like, I can feel my stomach responding to what Jesus is saying to us right now. He's saying, "Listen up. Listen up. I'm showing you some things here. I'm doing some things here. You're going to see some things here that you might not see other places. Maybe it's the first time you've ever experienced it. And if you walk away and be like, 'That's not me,' you're missing out on what I have for you." Amen. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. So why did Jesus speak in parables? And what should our response be to them? I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the why, and then Pastor Jason's going to come and talk to you about the what, okay? First of all, Jesus spoke in parables to fulfill prophecy. The prophets of the Old Testament said specific things regarding what the Messiah would do when he was on earth. And every action that Jesus took had a purpose. One of them was to fulfill prophecies. Isaiah spoke in chapter 6 of a Messiah, of the Messiah, who would speak in ways that only those whose hearts were open to him. Listen, do you hear that? Only those whose hearts were open to him would find interest in or understand what he was saying. Only those with hearts that are open to him will find interest in what he's saying. So he spoke in parables to fulfill prophecy. But also, and also, listen, this is really good. Come on, this is really good. Jesus spoke in parables as an invitation to seek him. This is it. Like, listen. If you're here today, even if you're not walking in relationship with Jesus, I have a feeling you already know that Jesus came from heaven to earth to die for your sins. You're here for a purpose. But if you might be sitting here and you don't understand, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard someone say, like, Jesus speaks in ways to invite us to seek him more, to invite us to increase our intimacy with him. There were people that sat and listened to Jesus teach, and they sat there and they were like, that doesn't even make sense. I don't know what he's talking about. And walked back home to where they came from. We can do the same thing. There are times that things are said or done and you're like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know what he's trying to say. Nah. Keep going my own way. Some people walked away and were frustrated because they didn't understand. But some were intrigued and needed to know more. I pray that you're intrigued today. I need to know more. What are you saying, Jesus? I need to know more. Listen, when I hear something that ignites my spirit, here's how I know. Like, my spirit's like, hey, pay attention. Maybe like I feel like shivers down my spine. Maybe I get goosebumps. Maybe my stomach starts vibrating. Maybe I start crying. And I realize, like, whoo, Holy Spirit's trying to teach me something right now. Listen, I have a choice to make. I can either say, that felt good. Okay. Next week. That's one choice. That was nice. Whew. Or I could be like, whoa, hang on, Jesus. What you saying? I can slow down. I can read it again. I can listen to it. I can listen to it again. Listen, we live in an age where we can listen to the messages over and over and over and over again. We can press pause. I was listening to a message this week, and it took me 3 days to get through it because I was pressing pause and being like, Jesus, what are you saying right here? What are you saying right here? I'm going to be super real with you. And you might think I'm super crazy, okay? I was listening to the last portion of it on Friday afternoon as I was driving to get my hair cut. And all of a sudden, my spirit was like, listen up, Paula! And my stomach started vibrating. And all of a sudden, like, I was shaken with electricity from top to bottom. And I said, hey, Holy Spirit, I am driving right now. Lay off! I need to get to Shady Cove, okay? But my spirit resounded with what that person was saying and what they were preaching. And Holy Spirit was like, pay attention. The very words of life are being spoken to your heart right now. And this process of slowing down, of listening, of re-listening, of reading, and of rereading, you know what it does? It brings glory to God, as he's able to reveal more of himself to the person who's seeking him. What do you think? How do you get that, Pastor Paul, that it brings glory to God? Well, I get that in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 2. It says this, it is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings to search it out. Listen. How many of you remember playing hide and seek as a kid? Right? Okay. I remember playing hide and seek as a kid, but even more so, I remember playing hide and seek as an adult. As the mom. Right? man, I love to like hide. Excuse me. I loved to hide and listen as my kids tried to find me. And they'd be like, where'd she go? Where is she? And they're like walking around the house and I am just giggling. Like, oh, I can't wait for them to find me. And I'm going to be like, here I am! Right? Come on. I am a bad parent. Listen, I am a bad parent. I am a sinful parent. I am an imperfect parent, but I have a perfect father. And if me as a sinful parent finds delight in hiding myself from my kids so that they can find me and I can jump up and be like, here I am. How much more does our perfect father find delight as his children are seeking out his presence? And he's like, come on, come on, come find me. I'm right here. And then we discover, he's like, here I am. Right? Come on. Our perfect father finds delight in his princes and princesses seeking him out and finding him.
So what's our response? Ah! I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Sorry, I had to. Listen, how you respond when God is speaking to parables will determine what God's able to do in your life. Because here the religious folks of the day would hear these stories and it would literally cause them an outrage to miss out what God is doing. These parables get right to the heart of the issue, right? Like, don't be surprised when God digs in and these parables speak directly to what's going on in your life and you have a choice. You're either going to take it and say, God, what can I do to do better? God, what do you want me to do? And listen, some of us say we don't understand God's word because we're not in it. Some of us don't understand who God is because we're not in it. This thing about this book right here is God reveals everything you need to know about who he is right here. You cannot live without his word. And here's what I want you to know. How do we respond to God's words, to the stories? I promise you, as you're reading these parables, it's going to get right to the quick. And as you read it, the question is, God, what do you want me to do with it? Here's the thing. We're living in a world that's trying to minimize God's word. Every time you turn around, oh, it's an ancient book. Oh, I don't know that I believe everything because culture has changed so much. This book does not change with culture. This book remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And listen, you can go, it's like a diabetic saying, well, I don't think I need insulin and I'm just not going to do it. Well, let's see how far that gets you. Well, I'm a Christian, but I just don't follow all that God's word has. You're not a Christ follower then, right? That's the truth. The truth of it is everything in this book, you can't just go, oh, 90% is good, but the 10% because it calls me out on my crap, man, I just don't like it. I just don't like it. It calls me out on my stuff. And listen, when God is calling you out, he's not doing it to bring guilt and shame and condemnation, but he's doing it to say, listen, I have better for you. A lot of Christians are missing out on all that God has because they bought into the lie that this book is old-fashioned, that it doesn't matter anymore. And I want to tell you something. This is the manual to life. If you want to know how to be blessed, so how do you respond to God's word? Very simply, and I want you to write, if you're taking notes, write these three things down. Open eyes, open ears, and an open heart. Open eyes, open ears, and an open heart. What I love about the word of God is the fact that it's alive and powerful. Proverbs 4:12 says this, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's where the issue becomes, because God takes his word and he goes right down to your innermost thoughts and desires, and that's where he starts to speak to you. But that's where we've closed him off. God, you can speak to me in all of these different areas of my life, but don't go there. Don't come after me and tell me how I should live my life. The world that we live in today says, live however you want if you're not hurting, as long as you're not hurting somebody. The problem is it hurts you. You look at like the sexual sin. The Bible says it hurts the person. It's the one sin that hurts you out of any sin. You got to dig in and you have to say, okay, God, what is it that you're saying to me? Open ears, open eyes. Open eyes, open ears, and open heart. I love the fact that when you get into God's word, and this is why we need it so much, and we need to have this discipline in our lives, okay? Wipe the cover off, and I think we need to get our Bible open and read it. And listen, you might read through a passage that you just read a year ago, and all of a sudden that passage comes alive. Anybody ever been there? That's why the Bible is alive. The Holy Spirit. And here's what I want to challenge you. When you stop and you say, okay, God, I want to put this discipline into my life of reading your word. I want to have this as something that I do on a regular basis. Before you open up this word of God, here's what you do. Holy Spirit, enlighten my understanding to what you want to say as I read the scripture. People that say, oh yeah, the Bible doesn't come alive to me, that's because you're not reading it in a perspective of saying, God, Holy Spirit, open my eyes, open my heart, open my ears. Digging in and getting that. And I promise you, when you get into this thing on this level, and see, there's what I call crusty Christians who've been in the world, that have been Christians for a long time, and they're like, oh, I have to read the Bible again. That means that it's grown old and they need to say, Holy Spirit, alive and bring it alive to me again. Open ears, open eyes, and listen, you don't know it all and neither do I. There's never a point when you've been in this thing long enough that you know everything. The minute you think you know everything, the minute you're in trouble. So Lord, open ears, open eyes, open hearts. No matter how long I've been in this, open ears, open eyes, and an open heart. Listen to Matthew 13:11 that says, and this is from the NLT. Actually, it says we need to have a ready heart. So not only an open heart, but our heart has to be ready. We have to say, Lord, cultivate my heart. And listen, Matthew 13:11, whenever someone has a ready heart for this, the insight and understandings flow freely. And that's from the Message, right? What is it? Did I say it wrong? 12, Matthew 13:12. Okay. Parables should create a ready heart. Jesus is most concerned with your heart over everything. He talks about a ready heart that's referring to a heart that's open and receptive to his teachings, actively seeking to understand the message of the kingdom of heaven, unlike those who are closed off or distracted, allowing the word to slip away without taking root. Listen to this. Not only does God want this word in you, but he wants you to it to take root in your heart. And what I want to ask you is, what have you allowed to take root in your heart? Is it bitterness? Is it anger? What has taken root in your heart? Because God is wanting this, his word, to take root in your heart. Listen, we have to be focused. We can't let distraction get us away from what God is doing. Where do ears to hear and eyes to see come from? Proverbs 20:12 says this, ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. We need to protect what we put into our eyes and what we listen to. We live in a society that puts so much garbage in our eyes, so much garbage in what we listen to. Listen to this. Matthew 6:22-24 says, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. What are you allowing in? Listen, there's an old saying that holds true, and I told our kids this all their lives. Garbage in. Some of us, we need to stop putting the garbage in. Because we're wondering why we feel the way we do. What are you allowing into your life? Open eyes, open ears, open heart. And that prophecy from Isaiah should stop you in your tracks. Matthew 13:14-15. And it says this, this fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah that says, when you hear what I say, you will not understand. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. Listen, some of you are asking God, why? You need to stop asking him why and start saying, God, what do you want me to do with this? To understand him, to say, God, show me what I need to know. And don't be disappointed when he shows himself to you because it's not the answer you wanted. When you see what I do, you will not comprehend. For the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. And they have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. You want to know why you're not experiencing healing in your life? Could it be that you don't have open eyes, open ears, and an open heart to let God come in and heal you? Might go, Pastor, it's too hard. I want to let you know it might be hard, but when you get to the other side of it, there's freedom. And whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. So keep a soft heart. To keep a soft heart. Harboring unforgiveness and bitterness will harden your heart. Stop holding people accountable in your life that will never come and ask for forgiveness. They're still victimizing you until you give them forgiveness. You're letting them live rent-free in your head, to be honest. Holding on to unforgiveness, you know what that's like? That's like you drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. Pastor, it's so hard to forgive them. Yeah, it is. It is. You don't know what they did to me. God does. Forgiveness keeps our heart soft. Some of you, if you're harboring unforgiveness, you need to be at Soul Care March 1st. Because when you forgive, how many of you have forgiven and you've seen God set you free? Look at that. Allowing doubt and disappointment will harden your heart. Don't let the enemy make you answer questions like, well, why would a good God allow this bad thing to happen? Because you know what that does is it starts to create doubt about who God is. And it starts to harden your heart. Don't go there. Don't let the enemy bring doubt into your life. Don't let disappointment. Well, God didn't work how I expected him to work in my life. I'm disappointed. Well, get over it and let God show you what he's trying to encourage you to understand. Because here's the thing. God will never do anything that will hurt you. He only has your best in mind. Don't let your heart get hardened. To keep a soft heart towards God, you can actively cultivate a close relationship with him through regular prayer, studying scripture, expressing gratitude, seeking forgiveness when you're needed, serving others in his name, consistently reminding yourself of his unconditional love and grace, remembering back what he did in your life. A soft heart will be fertile ground for the seed of God's word to grow deep inside your heart. The Bible talks about the different grounds that we can have. You can have a hard ground where seed just goes off. And the water tries to get in, and it's so hard, it can't even, or you could have a soft heart, or you could have like that scripture is so strong about what we need to do to let that grow root deep inside of our lives. So that's my question, is what have you allowed to take root in your life? Dig down deep. And I want to say this as we close. Sunday morning should be the culmination of all of your study all week long, of all of your experience with God. Don't make Sunday morning the place where, man, I'm going to come and get filled up, and then I'm not going to be filled all week long and wonder why life is so empty and draining and exhausting. Monday through Friday, that's where you dig in. You get into God's word. You let God disciple you in his word. Even if it's 15 minutes a day, get into his word. Dig into this Bible. Listen, I promise it will change your life. You do that for 1 year, 15 minutes a day, it'll change your life. Open hearts, open ears, and open eyes. Yes, thank you. That's what we need. That's how we respond.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.